evening, Lowell, Massachusetts.
And now, presenting a joint production of For the Pops and the NAI Network.
The following contest is scheduled for one fall.
A verbal history of chaotic wrestling by the two men who were there from the beginning. Hall of Fame ring announcer and commentator, Rich Palladino.
He is the current, reigning, and defending Chaotic Wrestling Heavyweight Champion.
Former owner of Chaotic Wrestling for nearly two decades, Jamie Jamakowski.
No blood, no cursing, stay off the barriers.
It's time to
let the chaos begin
on the NAI Pop Network.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Let the Chaos Begin. Rich Palladino and Jamie Jamakowski in studio. After a little time away, Jamie.
Yeah, it's been a while for all of us to get together, Rich.
So our apologies to the NAI Pop Network for lack of episodes lately. Real life got in the way.
That's true.
Let's just leave it at
that. Really, for you more than me.
For you, yeah, for me, definitely. A lot of people know because we did put it out on social media. My wife, actually had brain surgery. So there was a tumor that had to be removed, and we're happy to say it was removed completely and effectively, and she's on the road to recovery, but that kind of screwed up my whole life. And thank you to you for offering to sit with me in the hospital and everything else that came with it, but appreciate everybody's well wishes. But we're back at it, and we are in studio at the NAI Pop Network Studios. I'm sorry, the Let the Chaos Begin Studios, and we are going to talk about Breaking Point, Chaotic Wrestling Breaking Point, Jamie.
Yeah, but Rich, we should probably say right now that the studio is a little crowded today.
I was getting to that.
Is that a fat joke?
No. We do have to my left my broadcast, aka life partner, the one and only, the scarfed sultan of sarcasm, RJ DeLuise. And then Jamie, to your right, is, well, former Chaotic Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, two times, Chaotic Wrestling Hall of Famer, Hurricane John Walters, former friend of the show, former guest, but he's also an RJ because he was also known as, you know, Jan Brewer's son, RJ Brewer. So we have two RJs here.
And Rich's man crush, clearly.
Yeah.
There's a lot of love in this room, Jamie.
Well, for many of you between each other, it's I think this is kind of fun.
That's how it's gonna go.
I'm so excited to have everybody here in studio together. This is kind of fun. But yeah, we're talking about Breaking Point. RJ, do you remember what was the first Breaking Point you ever worked?
I'm thinking, probably 08.
Because John, you were on the very first Breaking Point. Now, do you remember anything about it?
I do. I'm also looking at this sheet here and realize that I have never won at a Breaking Point. So I'm a little nervous about
wow.
tonight.
Breaking Point job.
0-2.
Ooh.
Breaking Point. 2003 Breaking Point. I do remember that was kind of the culmination of Ortiz and I, our big feud. Wasn't that the end?
No, that was actually a midpoint of it.
Was it? Okay. Yeah. Oh, yes, that's correct because it did continue after that. But that was the big match that we had built to for about a year.
Correct.
Tom Pritchard was a special guest ref, and I think we went like 30 minutes in Methuen, right?
Yep. This
was
Methuen,
and it was packed. Wasn't that place sold out, standing room only?
Yeah.
I remember the crowd, and Ortiz and I went hard for about 25, 30 mm-hmm. minutes, and I do remember.
And this was the lead into, this actually lead into when you guys did the double turn that we talked about in the episode you were on.
Right.
That with the barricade spot, but that was where, this was the lead into that. This was supposed to be the blow off. Then you came back a few months later to retire.
Yes.
Louis jumped you, and then we extended the program even more.
I think this is the first singles match we had in Chaotic, is it not? I don't think we met until before this.
Well, we're talking May 4th of 2003.
Somewhere Adult's Heart is ticking a little bit faster.
I believe the reason we had that many people in the building is because the program was built so well because we didn't fight. It wasn't like Monday Night Raw where the same two guys wrestled for a year straight and then expect people to buy the pay-per-view. This is one of those deals where we didn't wrestle. And then this was the big match that everybody was looking forward to. So I'm almost positive that this was our first time wrestling in a Chaotic ring.
Yeah, and I screwed up. These dates must be in like some kind of European form. 5-4-0-3.
So
it's actually
April 5th,
2003.
Yeah.
So
because originally
we're looking at this in Europe.
Correct. Right. This is it. We're in the European studios.
Coming live from Europe.
Because originally, Breaking Point was our spring show. What happened was we had Cold Fury, and we wanted to have a second big show. And this is back when Fat Pants was booking with me. it was Fat Pants, Mucko, and I.
Senior Ring of Honor, senior official, Todd Sinclair.
Sure. And then, so we were booking, and we wanted to add another show. And we decided Breaking Point with the Summer Chaos may have existed already, too.
I believe so.
There was a Summer Chaos when Randy was around. So we wanted to add a middle show to kind of bridge us between the two.
But before we do that, I don't mean to interrupt. We moved really quickly from Louis Ortiz, John Walters in 2003.
Okay.
I just want to quickly say.
Yes.
That's a technical match. If you want to watch two guys who can go, and when he says it, you're like, oh, it's just, he's talking about himself going in the ring. He's a very modest person. But the Hurricane and Latin Fury Louis Ortiz are unbelievable at this point in 03. Unbelievable. In 03, though, Rich. I mean, those guys are at the prime of their careers. Both of them, you know, technically so savvy and so strong in the ring. That's stuff you don't see necessarily nowadays with
you
guys
still don't, no.
who can go 25 and have a technical match.
And they took the belt off
you. John, do you remember what led up to this match at all?
Was this after Cold Fury 2?
Yes.
Okay, so with Cold Fury 2, it was Vicalo and I in a ladder match, and that was kind of the end of our feud, was it not?
Yeah.
And then I remember kind of being out there. I think it was a show in Lawrence, and I remember Ortiz coming out and kind of getting in my face. I think he was a former champ, and he kind of wanted his belt back, and I remember slapping him in the face and running away, and that kind of, we built to this.
But there's one ignition point in this that you're missing, and it actually leads to, why did we call the show Breaking Point? Do you remember?
No. Because it had reached a breaking point.
Oh, there's the obvious.
Can you do that voice again?
It was the breaking point.
Okay, now can you say, in a world?
In a world where there is a breaking point, things break when they reach the point.
No, in one of your matches, Louis was going to attack you, and you had somebody, you were using the sharpshooter at the time, if I remember right.
Yes.
You were using the sharpshooter, and Louis grabbed your belt and hit you with it, and he broke the top of the belt off. It was the old Chaotic belt, and the big eagle up top snapped off.
Okay.
So we took it. We took a picture of it, of the little gimmick. And our first logo was the belt below, but then the broken piece up top. And we called the show Breaking Point, purely because the belt had broken.
The point of the belt had broken. I mean, really, to break it down, the top part of the belt,
exactly,
which would be at the point.
The point.
Had now broken. We had reached a break.
So
that's why we called it Breaking Point.
That makes sense. The thing actually broke, okay. And there was a point to it. So
I do remember that
a point to wrestling.
I messed with him a lot, and that story was there where he wanted to get his hands on me. He wanted his belt back. And again, a program where you don't have guys wrestle every show and then expect everybody to show up to the blow-off, but when you don't touch each other for almost a year, or however long it was.
That's because, as RJ was saying, you had two guys trained by the legendary Walter Killer Kowalski. And, you know, Jamie and I, we love to spout off about how great Chaotic is and how great it was back in the day. That was the big difference maker. You didn't get matches like that with quality, trained talent.
Yeah.
Like a Louis Ortiz and a John Walters. No. And you throw in Dr. Tom Pritchard.
Yeah.
As a guest referee. And, of course, the place, we probably should have had a bigger venue.
Well, I think back then there were a lot of shows we probably should have had a bigger venue. Like, we talk about this on this podcast all the time. I don't know how many fire laws we broke at the Lowell PAV for a whole bunch of shows.
I just remember being exhausted after that match because I don't think we rested at all. It was literally nonstop.
And that was, I mean, I know we're going to talk about Dr. Tom and our relationship on another episode, but this was back when Dr. Tom was really involved. This was actually, if you look at the run sheet, we have one match on there. Russell Simpson with Venus defeating Doug Delicious.
Yeah, help me out here.
Anybody know who they are?
Nope.
We had done a Pritchard camp that day, and there were a group of kids who drove up from Texas to be part of the camp.
Sure.
So Pritchard approached us and said, hey, they're pretty good. He actually knew them. He invited to the camp, and he said, you know, they drove all the way from Texas. Can we give them a match? So we gave them a match because, I believe it or not, I had to do a little bit of research. I actually called Fat Pants to refresh my memory because, John, I remember naming Breaking Point because the belt broke. I thought it was... You guys might remember the old New England title shattered at one point, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I thought it was, but it was Fat Pants who remembered it was the heavyweight belt and you and Louie, and this was the launch of the double turn.
That's the cool thing about Breaking Point is this is really the second biggest show of the year.
Yeah,
so,
that's
so
what it turned
when
into.
When you look at the names on here, these are Chaotic, you know, classics here. All these matchups when you're going through the years. It's you got everybody.
There's a lot of names here that have done...
Just
to say a shitload of things in their career.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't we do this? I'm going to take us to a quick break, And then what I'm going to do is we'll come back, and we have a list of like four, I think it's four or five breaking points that kind of jumped out at me that had specific memories.
Let's do it.
So we'll go to break, then we'll come back, and we'll talk about those. You are listening to Let the Chaos Begin with tonight our guests are John, Hurricane John Walters, broadcaster extraordinaire RJ DeLuise, my broadcast partner Rich Palladino, and I'm Jamie Jamikowski. We'll be back with more Let the Chaos Begin right here on the NAI Pop Network.
My name is Jason Malta.
I am Liam Strager.
And I'm Bill Neville.
And live every Wednesday night on NewAgeInsiders.com and the Mixler app, we're taking topics and thousands of fan perspectives and bringing them to your airwaves.
And don't forget, we'll be live and taking your calls before and after every single WWE pay-per-view that we do not attend.
But wait, there's more. You can also subscribe to our Patreon page by visiting Patreon.com and searching for New Age Insiders. And with plans starting at just $2 a month, there's an affordable option for everyone.
Monday rewards, Tuesday rewards, exclusive pay-per-view rewards, exclusive shows. Why wouldn't you become a Patreon? And we will see you Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. We out. You hear about Chaotic Wrestling's past on Let the Chaos Begin. But if you want to see its present and future, then go to Chaotic Wrestling Live. You can see all the Chaotic Wrestling action live and in person across New England. Go to chaoticwrestling.com/tickets to see the current schedule of shows and to purchase tickets. It's all the action of Chaotic Wrestling live at chaoticwrestling.com.
And we are back right here on Let the Chaos Begin on the NAI Pop Network. We are talking all things Breaking Point. We are joined tonight by Hurricane John Walters and broadcaster extraordinaire RJ DeLuise. Welcome back, guys. Thanks for coming in tonight. Before the break, we talked a lot about the very first Breaking Point in 2003 with the championship match between John Walters and Latin Fury Luis Ortiz. We talked about how the belt was broken. That's how we came up with the brilliant name. But then I thought, what are some other memorable breaking points that jumped out? And I'll kind of get us rolling. The first one that I will never forget was Breaking Point 2005. And this was coming from Lowell, Massachusetts. And the one I remember about this is it was a tournament where I don't remember the circumstances of why we needed to crown a new heavyweight champion, but we did. So we held a one-night tournament. And RJ, you were not with us yet, correct?
I was in the stands though, because this is Chase Del Monte and Sparkles against Arch Kincaid with penmanship. So I'm at this event in the crowd because I'm a Delmaniac, as I've established.
Okay.
Or maybe I didn't establish it on this, but you know me to be
true.
Struck with the Delmania disease.
And just looking at some history, the championship had been vacated. The champion before that was Brian Black, and I'm going to assume this was when he got signed. So our heavyweight champion, Brian Black, went on to WWE for a stint there as Palmer Cannon. So, yeah, so the title had been vacated, so we had a one-night tournament at Breaking Point 05, June 3rd, 2005.
Which brings us to something awesome, again, that I always used to do, would be that whenever I knew somebody was getting signed, I would get a belt on them before they went out the door. So we would have all the pictures of them with the belt and the big screen behind them. Congratulations.
Oh, WWE. It's a business. You got to put the belt on the people. Oh.
What about Danny E? We didn't put a belt on Danny E.
Danny needs belts.
But Danny was the most secret WWE signing.
We were
of all
going
time.
To put.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
And that's SmackDown referee, former blowout boy Danny E.
He's one of my favorite.
We had the graphic
ever.
Ready, and he was kind of tweaking about it. He knew when he was going, but he didn't want us to put that up on the screen. I don't know he wasn't
with us anymore at that point.
No, but there was a point where we had a graphic made.
I don't think so. I think you have the wrong person.
No, I remember talking to him. He was freaking out
really?
About it.
Really?
Yeah.
Fight over it.
Yeah. We're back to Chase Del Monte versus Arch Kincaid and Tommy Penmanship. Wow. So Chase is out here with Sparkles. He made it clear to me that any podcast about anything should never mention Sparkles and that I could just stop talking about Sparkles because perhaps that's a part of his career that I continue to bring up. It's on me because I do bring it up and it makes me feel good to talk about it. It was a real, era in Chaotic Wrestling. He doesn't want me to talk about it, so I'm not going to. I want to be really
You're not
going to
talk about what?
Nothing. That's a C. You can't trick me, Rich. Mm-hmm. I know that we're not talking about it. So good try, but I will not mention Sparkles and Chase Del Monte together in a match. I won't do it.
Okay.
Okay.
But now, RJ.
But that's the first. That's the first round match. So that's the first match of Breaking Point 05. Then it's Cruel Samson.
Yeah.
Louis Ortiz, Scotty Charisma, handsome, the handsome one in Maverick Wild. That must have been a wild.
Yeah. Match. So that, those were our first, our four first round opening round matches.
So that gets you through the opening round. Then you got right. Cruel Del Monte. He moves on, so he beats Arch Kincaid in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Comes out. Mike Cruel beats Del Monte. What's wrong? And Handsome Johnny. Defeats Louis Ortiz, and now we're
now stop there.
Yep,
because I need to tell everybody about the booking of the show because Todd Sinclair had booked this show, and if you look at the details, and I remember it vividly. If you look at the names in here, we have Mike Cruel, who's about to get the big chaotic push. Is where we're going to elevate mm-hmm. him to our heavyweight champion.
Mm-hmm.
You said Scotty Charisma's on the show. Mm-hmm. He was another part of the whole Kettner trade with ECWA. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
Charisma was one of his guys down there.
Mm-hmm.
And so at this point, this is really in the heart of the whole ECWA, Chaotic Wrestling, Mike Hollow, Jim Kettner connection relationship.
Yeah.
Fat Pants is still my booker. He's booked this show. And now, John, you've known Todd as long as I am. When it comes to booking, how flexible is Todd Sinclair?
Didn't seem like he was very flexible.
No. Usually if Todd had a plan, he wanted to stick to his plan.
Sure did.
He had booked this show exactly what he wanted. And if you look back or you watch the show, Todd was great at finding other things outside of wrestling, stealing them, and turning them into a wrestling angle. Mm-hmm. This is the Karate Kid. This entire thing was supposed to be the Karate Kid with a twist, meaning Handsome Johnny shines early. He was going to be our anointed one.
Mm-hmm.
After his match with Louis Ortiz, Handsome gets attacked. Louis snaps. Handsome's injured. When we were supposed to come back for the main, Handsome wasn't going to come out. Handsome's hurt. Handsome can't fight. Here comes Psycho, who babbles probably to you, Rich, or to the ref.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And we hear Handsome Johnny's going to fight. Handsome Johnny's going to fight. Now, the twist on it was going to be he and Cruel were going to have this highly competitive match in the main event. Back and forth, Handsome was going to put a big shine on Cruel. But in the end, Handsome's injuries and everything, he just couldn't continue.
Mm-hmm.
And Cruel was going to take advantage, and that's how he was going to go over. So it was going to make Handsome look like a fighter who wouldn't give up no matter what, but he just couldn't beat Cruel at this stage because we were setting up for Cold Fury 5, and that was where Handsome was finally going to beat Cruel. That's how far out Todd was booking. Mm-hmm. So we get to the main event, and then we'll go back to the other match you were about to mention, RJ. So we get to the main event, and we're at the PAV. Remember, I called it the airlock. It was like, it was the mm-hmm. kitchen
yeah.
and that little hallway. Mm-hmm. Handsome and I are standing there, and at one point, I saw earlier in the night, Handsome and Cruel are in a corner. I'm looking at John, because you'll probably appreciate this more than anybody in the room. Handsome
probably not.
And Cruel are in a corner with Hollow and Jim Kettner going over the match. And I see lots of gesturing, and Jim's giving feedback, and Hollow's doing this and that. And at one point, they get my, and I see Fat Pants go over there. And then Fat Pants, I see him kind of storm away because he was reffing, too. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, So I somebody calls
one,
me
one
over.
More time?
Okay, got it. Somebody calls me over there. And so I kind of now get into the middle of this, and I'm like, what's going on? And they're going over the match, and it wasn't what Todd had booked.
Uh-oh.
It was a lot more of a squash.
Like a Millis Killers type.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
It was
yeah.
just a lot more of a squash of Cruel and Handsome. And I said, all right, but you know what? The story we're telling is Handsome has to fight back. And I remember my caller going, oh, yeah. You know, Handsome's going to fight back, but Cruel's... I'm like, great. So I walk away. Go to the main event. Mike Cruel's the heel. He goes out first. And we got to do this whole thing of Handsome Johnny's going to fight. Handsome and I are... I can tell you where I was standing. I was leaning against the countertop in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Handsome's in. He had that old black and purple robe.
Mm-hmm.
He's that facing me.
Smelled terrible, by the way.
And I go, so is the match all set? And he goes, and I quote, Daddy, there's no shine. Daddy. I go, what? he goes, Daddy, there's no shine in the match. And his music hits, and he walks out. Yeah, they took away Handsome Johnny's entire shine in the match.
Mm.
If you watch it, Handsome got in zero offense in the entire match.
And basically, he just got squashed by Mike Rule.
So the shine was basically that he was fighting, that he came out.
That just came out at all.
The shine was his entrance.
Yeah, that just came out at all. But to this day, if I were to text Handsome, or Warbeard, as he's now called, and if I were to text him, Daddy, there's no shine, he would know exactly what I'm talking about.
Sure.
It was the Breaking Point 2005 tournament.
Interesting.
I mean, he's part of the demographic of this audience. You know, Tomo is listening to this. I mean, there's three or four people listening to this podcast whose lives were lived during this time.
Mm-hmm.
And those fives, maybe tens, 15s of people are listening to this podcast because this is like we're getting into the golden era of chaotic wrestling. So I'm at these shows, and you know, we're going to talk about Breaking Point, you know, 08. Which we're going to jump a little bit ahead in time just to keep kind of moving.
But hold on. Wait, RJ, go back to 05 for 1 second. Because believe it or not, that wasn't my favorite match on the show.
Oh,
that was my favorite moment.
I should have seen this.
You should have seen that.
Yeah.
Possibly, John, some of my favorite moments in Chaotic.
Yeah.
The guardrail spot with you and Louie was one of them. This is, RJ, I'm going to look at you because I think you and I agree on my middle one.
Yeah.
It wasn't a spot. It was the angle where the blowout boys had to run away from Fred and Rick.
Yep.
And if you remember, we told Fred Sampson and Rick Fuller, the deal was, if you catch them, you can chop them.
Yep.
So it became this legit Danny E trying to get away from them every chance
Danny was so scared.
He was terrified.
Still
terrified.
Is.
I mean, who wouldn't be? Like, to be fair.
Yes.
Okay? You don't want to get get caught by Rick Fuller. If the big Rick machine chops your chest, you're worse off than you were before. Let's be clear about that, okay? You're in serious chestular pain if that happens.
Have you ever taken a Rick Fuller chop?
No, I've taken Brian Fury chops because he knew I was going to be...
Rick Fuller chop?
I took a modified one in a parking lot of Kiss concert.
No, I don't want
Rick
that.
Fuller chop, you must have.
I have.
Yeah, I took one in the back.
I don't want
I
any.
I took, I think, three of them in one match.
And that was enough for you?
Yeah, it's I would say.
To die.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not... It's a lethal weapon, that thing.
It sure is.
He's swinging a club, people. Like, Google Big Rick Fuller from Hollywood. He's been in lots of movies. And he will... His hand is the size of your head. And he just puts it into people's chests. He murders people.
I remember once we were in a locker room, and I forget what I said, but he chopped me in the back, and I felt my lungs hit the front of my rib cage and bounce back. You're a human,
and he chopped you into shreds. Yeah.
But anyway, in this, one of my third favorite spots ever was actually in this battle royal. This was when we did the famous Milagro switch, and this was all Todd Fatpants Sinclair. What it was is we had somebody wrestling under a mask, and it was El Milagro. It was Andre Lyons.
Yes.
Andre Lyons was fighting for his job back. He had done all this stuff, and Chaotic was punishing him. Part of it was, John, he had to wrestle you.
Mm-hmm.
He had to wrestle Austin Aries.
Low-key.
Low-key was the third one.
Andre Lyons is one of the most pure athletes to ever come through Chaotic Wrestling. I want to just have that be said as part of this discussion.
Andre was awesome back then.
Andre's one of the Julian is another person who had that kind of purity of movement and skill. Those two guys jump out in terms of just how clean and crisp everything they hit at all times.
Yeah.
The ability to do every single thing in the ring, off the top of the rope, but the actual telling of a story in a wrestling ring. Those two, I mean, you got to...
And the challenge with Andre, I think Andre listens, and he knows I say this about him now. The problem with Andre was he had all the ability in the ring. Outside the ring, he was an idiot. Like, during this whole run... He was actually mad at us, and John, again, he's coming to us saying, well, I think I'm losing credibility because I keep losing. You're losing to John, Austin Aries, low key. You're winning.
Right.
We're building you up huge here, but he didn't get it. But so now to sneak back into the company, we did this thing where this El Milagro, he had been around. It was always just whenever we needed somebody, we'd throw him under this mask and the outfit.
Like a vortex.
Right. And
a vortex.
The stipulation this night was... If Andre Lyons didn't win the Battle Royal, he was fired from Chaotic Wrestling. So he's in there early, and he gets eliminated. So he's done. Later on in the show, El Milagro comes out. No, I'm sorry, I messed this up, because they were both in there at the same time at one point.
Right.
So what happens is at some point, Andre and El Milagro are out there. I want to say Milagro may have actually eliminated Andre.
Yep, I think that's
so that now everybody knows, okay, Milagro... eliminated Andre. Andre's pissed. Match keeps going on. At one point, I believe Brian Malonis pulls Chase Del Monte to the stage and gives him a power bomb off the stage.
Yep.
Okay, that was done, and this was all Fat Pants' thinking. We had the match in the ring break down. Everybody's brawling outside. Part of the fight spills down the entryways. Part of it spills out into the lobby. Meanwhile, the big part is to the stage, power bomb through the table. What Fat Pants did was he bought an identical El Milagro outfit. And what they did was when real El Milagro fought over by the curtain, mm-hmm. he got punched through the curtain, and a different Milagro actually came in and just kept going.
That's incredible. So then
at the end of the match, Milagro goes over, he whips off the mask, and it was Andre Lyons.
It was me.
But to this day, I think it was probably one of the best done switches I've ever seen the way Fat Pants booked that. That was freaking brilliant, what he did there.
Pants is one of the brightest people to ever be involved in wrestling. I mean, he's, you know, you'll find a lot of refs have extra skill sets. He's on a whole other planet in terms of booking and knowledge. Mm-hmm. Like, being around Pants and just the way that he thinks about things and his easygoing nature. He's another one who's just like, easy to get along with, except if you want to change the thing he wants to do.
Yeah.
Which is fair, because he's writing insanely amazing. I mean, these stories jump off the page.
Yep.
I mean, if you look at this at Chaotic On Demand, or you get the DVD, this is an amazing night of wrestling. I mean, any of these breaking points you're going to pop in the DVD, if that's a thing people still have. And and you would it was worth your money.
RJ, you still have some stroke in Chaotic Wrestling. I don't anymore. Okay. They have a fully edited Breaking Point 2005 that used to be a DVD we produced. Oh. Get them to put that on Chaotic Wrestling On Demand. That's a great show to watch.
I have no control over anything. But yeah, I will. These are big nights. We're looking at 08 now. We're moving 08.
Yeah, because now we're up to Milagro. Now we're up to your first Breaking Point.
Yeah, this is Breaking Point 2008, for me, which is the only one that matters.
What's really what's the high point of this one that you remember?
So
besides Nice and Slow.
Oh, unbelievable. You know, you have Locked and Loaded, you know, the one-on-one matchup between Chase Almani and Brandon Locke, the breakup of, you know, Locked and Loaded there. You got Scott Reed with Sledge. First of all, I got to tell a Sledge story. Can I tell a Sledge story
real quick? You can always tell a Sledge story.
So Sledge is another one who was a role player. So Sledge came in and did exactly what he needed to do in the ring. He was never looking to be put the belt. He doesn't want a belt. Sledge just came in. He looked awesome. Like, he was cut up from the floor, and he had just like the war paint, and he totally awesome. I'm a big Sledge fan. Sledge is also a really nice person.
Yeah.
And so I'm at the Cumberland Farms near my house in New York, and I hear RJ, and I turn around and it's Sledge. Come to find out, Sledge lives like 8 houses down from me in my neighborhood.
That's
so
amazing.
I was mowing my lawn one day, and I see a guy run by, and I'm like, that guy looks like Sledge. That's silly. Obviously, Sledge doesn't live in my neighborhood. Why would Sledge be running past my house? This is the thoughts I'm having in my head. Turns out it was absolutely Sledge, and that's just a really random story.
The Sledge. That is good stuff.
He was one I was always sorry Sledge walked away. I liked
just a good guy and a great worker.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of my grown-up life was Adult and I would go out to Albany to go to an NXT show and meet up with RJ. And one year, it was Adult, myself, and RJ, and we got a nice surprise visit from the Sledge. And we took in a nice evening of a little NXT action out there in your neck of the woods.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to have you guys in
But RJ,
New York's an overtaxed state.
Amazingly, when I was going through everything, I wasn't at Breaking Point 2008. I was away. So I missed one of the seminal moments of Chaotic Wrestling history, RJ. What was the main event of that show?
I don't know that we're allowed to talk about it legally at this point, because it was the unsanctioned match between Tommaso Ciampa and Brian Malonis. The important thing about it being unsanctioned was it was on the internet and clearly promoted as a match that was happening. However, and this is really important, it was not an actual sanctioned match, although for months it was building towards a match that actually happened. So so there was no sanctions, though. There were the sanctions were in place, actually, like a full military sanction was in place.
But RJ, do you remember how they told you very clearly this was not sanctioned? Do you remember what they did in that room that night?
They weren't sanctioned.
No, but do you remember what they physically did in that room?
Without a sanction? I don't know. I mean,
they took down the ring aprons and they took down the banners.
It's not now it's not sanctioned anymore. There was no branding. Because Chaotic Wrestling would never put their name behind a match this deadly in a world at Breaking Point.
If you ever want to get in a massive fight with Tarzan Taylor, Matt Spectro, who I believe he was booking at this point in 2008, if you ever want to get into him, bring up the unsanctioned match to him.
I don't know that we're allowed to legal. We've talked about how the sanctions are in place.
If you want to have a lot of fun, talk about the unsanctioned match with Crockett and Tarzan in the room, and then just watch the fun. Watch the fun explode in front of you.
So the other match, we got him here, and so we should talk to him about it.
And it brings up, you know, one third of the hooligans, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, Brian Logan. I'm talking about wrestlers I like. I like every one of these. I mean, there's nobody on here who I look at and I go, these guys don't belong in this spot. Like, there's some shows where you're like, who's the what with the what now? But you look at these breaking points, and these are all, I mean, the best in New England. Nothing against people who haven't wrestled in Breaking Point, but Rich, I mean, you have to agree. There's some names here where you're like, this is the upper echelon of you know, New England wrestling.
In all honesty, looking at this card, and just give me maybe 30 seconds, Chase Del Monte defeats Brandon Locke. We talked about the handicap match, Nice and Slow. Mike Nice and Psycho defeat Dr. Reginald Heresy. New England title. The Golden Greek Alex Arion with Cherry Payne defeats Matt Logan by DQ. Scott Reed defeats Brian Fury. Wow. Look at that.
Who gave Scott Reed a win? RJ, now you can tell I was away for the show because Scott Reed went over in a match.
You know what? Yeah. And he had the sledge with him, so I'm going to guess that.
Oh, sledge was, I'm clearly involved.
And then look at this for the heavyweight title. John Walters again goes in as champion.
No, he's
a challenger.
I was a challenger.
Oh, you were a challenger.
This is Bry Guys.
Oh, I just thought you lost the title again.
No, this is. I came back here after being gone.
Thank God you don't do this for a living, Rich.
I came back here after being gone for a while. Mm-hmm. I don't think I had wrestled there for what, a couple of years.
Probably. Yeah.
And
this
I came
singles
back.
Mode.
Yes.
What I meant was John Walters comes in hoping to win the title, right. but loses to our heavyweight champion Brian Logan. So you got hooligans all over the place.
Brian Logan through the roof here. So I mean, he beats John Walters. You know, like that's no small thing.
No. But wait a minute, we have...
That's true, yeah.
We have two handicap matches on this.
Sure.
The aforementioned Big Rick Fuller against both Blowout Boys, Danny E. and Tommy T. with Lexus, a.k.a. Alicia Edwards. Kid Mikazi with Brian Fury defeats The Sledge with Scott Reed. And then, of course, the unsanctioned match, but we can't speak
we
of.
We can't even talk about it. There's obviously laws in place for that reason. So we talked about in 05, we talked about the chasing around of the Blowout Boys by Big Rick Fuller when we were talking about his giant hand before. This two-on-one handicap match is the – I mean, that's what this is.
This is in the middle of that hole.
That's what
this is.
This is
the middle of that angle.
And if you've never seen Danny E. run away from someone who could harm him, you're missing a part of life that will change your entire view of the world.
RJ, do you remember the show? And I know you do because we've talked about it a million times. Mm-hmm. It was in the middle of this angle. Blow-up boys are wrestling. They're avoiding Fuller and Samson.
Yep.
And match ends and – Fuller and Samson came in through the front door of the PAV.
Yes.
And they hit the ring. And one of them gets a hold of Danny E's legs.
Yep.
And Danny E starts kicking his legs like a little girl, right, trying to swing. He gets away. And that was when RG, I'm sure you remember, he gets a running start, gets his left hand on the top rope, vaults the ropes, clears the little alleyway over the barrier.
So I remember
lands
that.
In the crowd and runs out the back door.
Yep.
It was probably Danny's most athletic moment of his life.
The thing about Danny is, and I've said this when we've gone to those NXT events when we're sitting hanging out afterwards with me, Rich, and the Sledge, and Adult. Shout out to Adult. The thing that we talk about is he's going to eventually hope that one day he wakes up and Vince says to him, Danny, this whole time, you were right before my eyes, like a real rom-com. So, like, he didn't realize he had the greatest wrestler of all time. He's had him as a referee this whole time. And then he changes him immediately into heavyweight championship material. And Danny will, like, rip his shirt off and just have all his blow-up boy gear on. And he's just waiting on that moment where Vince is going to realize the whole time the greatest wrestler of all time is right in front of him. Well, that's Danny E. He's that good.
He's already on the payroll.
He's already paying him. He'll probably take the same amount of money to be that good at wrestling.
RJ,
we love it.
RJ, to this day, if my daughter and I are just like in the car and we want to come up with like generic club dance music, it's always.
I mean, and each Blowout Boy had their own version of the dance. So Tommy's dance is like the most like straightforward athlete like Zumba dance. And it's very like it's like what you do. It's like Zumba move like seven. Like it's part of the rotate. Like he has like a whole swing that he does. His is very specific. Danny's is my favorite, but I'm biased again. I love Danny. Yeah, not that I don't love Trouble. This is really these are the Blowout Boys when I think of Blowout Boys.
Absolutely.
I think Danny E and Tommy T.
Tommy T.
Danny brought a lot of guys up from the Delaware, Jersey area, and those guys became Blowouts just because they, you know, got to ride up, you know, with Danny. But Danny and Tommy are the two. That's the real Blowouts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there's nobody think, and with Lexus, like, which the big question is who's Lexus dating? It's always Danny.
That's
Everyone
right.
must know that. That's a trivia item for you.
Who we should actually, in the blogs? RJ, you got to promise me, next time you're going to be up this way, let us know.
Yeah.
And we'll have you back. We should do, that should be the night we do the Blow Up Boys episode.
We need a whole Blow
because
Up Boys
episode.
Because
you and I, we biggest fans of Blow Up Boys on the face of the earth.
Love me some Blow Up.
You know, we could talk about, remember the feud when they broke up for a little while because we had the other girl.
Yeah.
And great stuff. 2015. Now, when we get all the way up to 2015, something weird happened there. That was like one of the first times ever I had taken some time away from Chaotic Wrestling. Not like my just little getaways. I was not involved for a stretch of time. Right around 2015, I came back in, and I was booking with Tarzan. And I remember right as I came back in, there was a big push to put the title on Julian.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going back and forth with Tarzan by phone. And, John, I'm sure if I were to say to you, Julian Starr, you would get an image of him in your mind from back when he used to wrestle. That was the image I had of Julian. Well, I remember when we put the belt on him the month before Breaking Point, I remember seeing Julian in the ring and thinking, what the hell happened? Mm. Because Julian had put on a ton of weight. He was a legit heavyweight at that point in time. And I always remember Julian as being similar in build to you, John. He was always really cut, really athletic.
And Susanna right now is just hashtagging babe. So hard.
Hashtag babe. I still love you, babe.
No, you're getting this whole conversation. She's going to murder you on the internet. You're done for.
But no, Julian posted a picture of this show yesterday.
Yeah,
he left. And he even said he was so heavy, like, you could see the ring dipping in the middle.
We saw.
So, like, all of a sudden, I'm looking. I'm staring at Tarzan, and I'm like, dude. He's like, no, it's okay. I'm like, all right, this wasn't what I was expecting.
I think this goes to show you that when Julian was wrestling and he was in his peak shape, how hard he worked to get there. Because I'm the kind of guy that if I took 2 months off from working out and just ate crap, I would get skinny. So people have different body types. I think he's one of those people that was naturally heavy. So for him to get in that shape where he had a six pack, he had to really work his ass off. So there's that side of it where you admire that work ethic, but clearly, you know, he's gained some of the weight back. And it's probably harder for him than somebody like me to stay lean. Do you know what I'm saying?
Because I can delicious. Let's
sure is.
Be really clear.
But what I'm saying is I can agree. I can pick out
a larger guy, but he is snuggly and he can still hit moves, which we saw.
Yes.
At the countdown event.
Oh, I've worked with him up at the wrestling school, and he's not slow in the ring.
He can go.
He doesn't get tired. So I think, you know, everyone's got a different body type. There's endomorph. There's ectomorphs, and I think he's one of the ones that he truly will put on weight if he's not in the gym, where somebody like me would the opposite would happen.
And I same like, as so. Me, guys. If you've seen the picture of Artie Delwies online, that's exactly what I look like. Like a peak John Walters, a peak Julian Starr. That's how I look, right, Rich? I mean, that's
without a doubt.
Right.
Rich also looks that way. Let's be clear.
No.
All right.
But one thing I love, though, is Julian Starr, no matter what shape he's in, still hits a picture-perfect moonsault.
I mean, just a thing of beauty.
When you were up with us in Lowell.
The countdown. It was
the
amazing.
Chaotic countdown.
It's pretty. I just won't take it.
I don't blame you. That's fair. It's fair.
But as the owner of the company, when I got sold on Julian as my new heavyweight champion, and then I show up and I see...
You got a heavyweight champion.
I see Julian. I wasn't thrilled. I wasn't happy. Julian, I apologize now. Four years later, I wasn't happy.
Well, they said heavyweight. You weren't paying attention.
Yeah, that's what the belt says before it got snapped.
But now that was a show before Breaking Point.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, if we look back, and I'm not going to psychoanalyze Julian, there must have been something going on. Because in addition to the weight gain, all of a sudden, Tarzan has to call me a week after that Woburn show and tell me, Julian's quitting.
Was he not hurt at the time?
I don't know the story, John. I don't know if he was hurt. The message I got was, Julian's done. And I think because my first question was, is he hurt? Is he whatever? No, he's just done.
Well, the first question you have to ask before someone's hurt is he miserable?
He's probably miserable. That's probably usually the first step.
I
think he lost his smile.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So now all of a sudden we're going into Breaking Point. Mm-hmm. It's going to be at Stoneham High. We've rented the big gym. It was a fundraiser for I forget what organization.
Second year in a row
we're there. Mm-hmm. And we have to get the belt off our heavyweight champion because Julian, at first, I don't think Julian was even going to appear at Breaking Point. And then we cajoled him. Tarzan worked on it. We said, no, you got to come back for one more. So we did that. So that's why we set up the four-way between Chase, Julian, Booker, and Dijak. And that led to one of the later title reigns of the aforementioned Chase Del Monte.
Yes.
Well, and you got in that four-way match. I mean, so you got Donovan, Dijak. You got Adam Booker, the return of the Remarkable One. I mean,
what a comeback story. It's not quite a Hurricane John Walters return story, but because he just pressed pause in his career and came back at the exact stride where he left. So that's John Walters' story. That's a different discussion for the Hurricane. He's the consistent technician. We'll get into that later. But but the thing about Adam Booker is remarkable one. He came back ready to rock and roll. That dude came in with a fire that he didn't even have when he first was introduced to independent wrestling. This dude came back ready to be in the main event, which he is at here at Breaking Point in a four-way. He belongs there because he's that level of talent. Chase Amaya, you know, he's fine, he's whatever. And then you know, you got Julian, as we talk. I mean, this is a big match. This is, you know, this is that's the main event. We
it's a lot of men's.
I mean, there's a lot going on there.
But I remember what I actually, John, you said the word. When I think back on this Breaking Point, I was miserable at this Breaking Point. I remember this one like it was yesterday. It was, we were going into Stoneham that night. I think pre-sales were awful. We thought it was going to be a train wreck. We thought there was going to be nobody there. And the crowd just filled in crazy at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I remember Handsome worked Brick in the opener.
Yep.
And I literally remember saying to the roster that night, look, it's going to be a bomb scare. Let's just get through it. We can all go home early. And this place filled in. And I remember that crowd was so hot for Handsome and Brick.
Mm-hmm.
Handsome came through the curtain. I'm like, I said, what the hell? And he's like, it's so easy out there tonight. It was just one of those crowds, John. It was all kids.
Mm-hmm.
They were buying everything. They didn't know anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But this was also the night where I had a shit ton of heat from the roster. Because I brought back a special referee that night.
You had heat?
Oh, yeah.
Never.
More heat than usual.
That never unbelievable. Happens. That's weird. That's because so odd.
When I saw that pre-sales were low and we had a women's match, Alexis versus Belmont, I said we should bring back our former women's champion, Casey Ray. Now, Casey Ray did not leave on the best of terms at the time. Mm. When she left the first time, she went online and had a lot of negative things to say about people in the wrestling industry and those she was with, and it just a lot of not good things. But I did remember that when she worked in Stoneham, she got a ton of family and friends to come. So I said to her, why don't you make this your last wrestling appearance ever? Tell everybody it's your last one and put some asses in seats.
Wow.
So I brought her back. Well, the roster was livid with me. I remember Malonis letting me have it. I remember a bunch of people, I think Chase pulled me aside, kind of said, I know why you did it, but it sucks. She ran us all down, blah, 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 why you're doing this. So that was part one of my misery. Part two of my misery is I've got my heavyweight champion who lost his smile, and we got a hot shot the belt off of him.
Because he's reached his breaking point.
We've got a crowd that was going to look. So when I think back at 2015, all I remember was
miserable.
What a miserable night.
Mm-hmm.
All right, but hold on. This is a big match we skipped here. Ilya Markopoulos and Johnny Vegas, they have made a career out of Breaking Point matchups. They will be facing each other in
2018.
How about
so,
that, huh?
So 3 years have gone by, and these two are going to be fighting each other. That jumps right off the page. That's exciting. I like
sure
that
sure does. And very historic because, mm-hmm. I mean, he'll be the first one to tell you, but the Chase that runs the place, wow. That began his third title reign, which, by God, was the longest in Chaotic Wrestling
yeah.
history. Wow. 517 days.
I mean, that he is the Cal Ripken of heavyweight champions, in that he's boring and I hate him.
Is he the epitome?
That's not fair. I love Chase Amani. I'm just being mean because people know that I love Chase Amani.
Of course.
All I do is put him
on. It was purely in like
517 days.
The fact that the longest championship reign in Chaotic Wrestling was purely because Julian quit at the last minute and we had to hotshot it to somebody, and Chase was the best option. That's how we got the belt. So, Rich, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take one more break and then we're going to come back. I know you have one big question you want to ask me as we wrap up Breaking Point.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do that after the break. You are listening to Let the Chaos Begin right here on the NAI Pop Network.
Are you a wrestling fan, but you've always wanted to get in the ring? Do you want to follow in the footsteps of superstars like Donovan Dijak and Flip Gordon? Then check out the New England Pro Wrestling Academy. At the NEPWA, you can live your wrestling dreams and train at the best pro wrestling school in the Northeast. Check out neprowrestling.com for information on joining and about their upcoming fantasy camp. It's neprowrestling.com. Start your pro wrestling dreams today.
Hey everyone, this is Jamie from the For the Pops podcast. You know, on our show, you hear me talk all the time about Undercover Wear, Chaotic Wrestling, and a lot of the other companies I've started or worked for. Over the course of my 20-plus year career, I've helped dozens of businesses and literally thousands of individuals
reach their personal and financial dreams. And you know what? Now I want to help you. If you have a small business, a family-owned company, or maybe just a great business idea, reach out to me. Maybe you're looking for a job and need some help with your search or rewriting your resume. Just let me know. Who knows? Maybe you're a pro wrestler or a pro wrestling promoter who needs some tips on growing your role in the industry. Well, I can help. Check out our website. It's ohanane.com. That's OHANANE.com. Or just go to forthepops.com and follow the link at the top of the page. My company, Ohana Enterprises, we offer everything from individual coaching to marketing packages to website design and even more. Our only goal is to give small businesses and individuals the boost you need to succeed. So check us out at ohanane.com and let us help you make your dreams a reality.
And we are back. We're going to close out our Breaking Point special edition here with our guests, Hurricane John Walters and, of course, RJ DeLuise. And Jamie, we've been talking about Breaking Point, and the four of us have talked about the very first Breaking Point was in 2003. There were several other ones that we've aforementioned. But in 2009, World Wrestling Entertainment had a pay-per-view that was entitled, Breaking Point.
Yes.
It emanated from the Bell Center in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, on September the 13th of 2009.
Yeah.
And I've heard a rumor that somebody at this table that's not John Walters, RJ DeLuise, or Rich Palladino, that
Who
somebody else
be?
At this table, did you really sue WWE over the pay-per-view name Breaking Point?
What do you mean by did I sue them? Did we go to court, or was there huge conversations with lots of lawyers involved over the name Breaking Point?
Second part.
Part two.
Door number two.
Is correct. But it's not entirely, that's not what happened. What happened was they did an online poll between, I forget what they were, there were four names that you could pick between.
Well, it's funny you should mention, there was Submission Sunday, Submission, Submit and Quit, or the aforementioned Breaking.
Oh, I thought it would be Breaking
Actually,
Point Summer.
Breaking Point.
And
yeah, that would be the. If they took all four, I'm like, I'm in. I'm all the way in on that. That's one of the greatest homages of all time. You can't even sue them. You just be like, you just made me all this money.
Thank
everyone's
you.
Going to come to my shows that I already call that because you've booked WWE programming for a year under those names. That's a win. You thank them for that. That cross promotal, you know, you can't beat that with a bat. Are you kidding me?
Thank you, Vince.
I mean, that's amazing. Yeah, thanks, bud.
But so yeah,
I like
so
Submission Sunday
voted.
Or Submit and Quit. Do you have to actually quit? Do you have to like not have a job? That's a tough pay per view.
That would have been.
And then you quit. Like I submitted. Well, that was it for you. That's the final
really,
part of
in,
your.
In that
story.
Case, by theory, you lose half your roster that night, right?
Everybody goes away. Half the guys are gone. They just wake up the next morning. None of those people have jobs.
You know, by theory, if they had done that, then they would have stolen the gimmick of the whole El Milagro. Would have to quit Chaotic Wrestling. So that could be even more gimmick infringement.
I
want to
hear about the lawsuit.
Yes.
So or the deposition.
Thank you for keeping us on track, John. So the way the story goes, they do the poll, and immediately I think it was Mike Crockett calls me. Mm-hmm. And he's like, did you see? I'm like, no. He's like, Breaking Point's one of them. I'm like, that's weird. Well, whatever. So it goes on. It wins. Few months later, they announce a Breaking Point pay-per-view. I see it, and my contacts at the time at WWE were Ty Bailey and John Laurinaitis. I call Ty Bailey, and I say, hey, just a heads up, you might want to have someone from legal call me because we've been running a show called Breaking Point since 2003, and I don't want any problems.
Ooh. Now, he doesn't want any problems, folks.
Now,
Jamie is officially at his.
Jamie does not want any problems.
No, because here was my theory.
No,
here's what they were going to do. If you know WWE, they're going to run Breaking Point. They're going to trademark it.
Sure.
Next thing you know, a year later, I'm going to run it. I'm going to get a nasty letter
that
from legal
be, that
saying,
so great.
You
that
can't use
so
it anymore.
Good.
So, literally, my first phone call was literally just to say to Ty, hey, because RJ, we talked about you being on Homecoming, one of the first shows.
Yeah.
I had been dealing with WWE legal for years. Joe Bogdan was a guy I dealt with. He had left the company at that point. And so I didn't have a contact in legal, so I called Ty. I said, hey, have somebody in legal give me a call. Because I just didn't want there to be a problem down the road of them telling me I couldn't use it anymore.
That would be so awesome.
Ty ignores me. fine. He ignores me. I want to say I called him two or three times. Ignores me. Next thing you know,
that's called no selling.
They start to promote the pay-per-view. Don't I get an email from legal saying you need to remove Breaking Point from your website?
Ooh, they did it.
So I call the guy. I'm like, yeah, we're not doing that. We've been running it forever. Well, I wish I could remember the lawyer's name, that little sneaky dirtbag who called me. So,
Ciampa,
nope. So now
Thomas Whitney Esquire.
I get pissed. Okay. I call a lawyer. I get a trademark and attorney lawyer that I knew.
You have a lawyer on retainer.
I don't have a trademark attorney.
You have a lawyer.
So, yes, I called my lawyer who told me, call this guy.
All right, so there's multiple lawyers. Let's be clear, Hurricane. He's leaving out some lawyers.
Every pompous human being has a lawyer on speed.
So, to have a lawyer, you just press this one on his phone and the lawyer shows up. Yep. He doesn't even have to call him.
Barrister.
Like under a desk somewhere.
Barrister.
So now I get my barrister. I get my trademark lawyer. And I say, what should I do? So he says, we'll just send him a letter. So he sends him a letter basically saying, hey, look, my clients own Breaking Point since this day. We have trademarks pending on it. If not, and he's.
Did you have trademarks pending?
Yeah. We did. No, we did.
I believe it.
Yeah, we did. But again, do we want.
But if you can prove prior use, I think that's irrelevant.
There you go.
Yeah, you have websites. Yes. And
so
and
now
materials.
We have.
You have materials.
So now all he's saying is prior use.
Right.
Well, all of a sudden, I get a phone call from John Laurinaitis, and it's, Jamie, what the fuck are you doing? Are you, did you tell somebody, did you have a lawyer sue us? I'm like, no, John, that's not what happened.
Basically an email, bro.
And so I say to him, John, I tell him the whole story. He's like, God damn it. All right, I'm going to have the lawyer. I'm like, why did I say Scott? The lawyer's first name was Scott.
Cursing. Why is the lawyer's name?
So now the lawyer calls me back. The Scott
Breaking
guy calls me back.
Point.
WWE lawyer.
Breaking. This is all
and I remember
about
this call too.
Breaking Point.
So he calls me back and he goes, and he says, yeah, so you're going to sue us? I'm like, no. All I want is to be able to use Breaking Point going forward. I know how you guys are. I don't want it locked down. He's like, so you want to share the trademark with us? I'm like, I guess. I said, I don't really know.
That's
he's
an
like,
amazing idea.
It, but he, then he goes, what? I thought you had a lawyer. I said, I do have a lawyer, but he's not on the call. I thought this was just a casual conversation.
Why don't
like,
you talk to somebody without your lawyer? But, you have a lawyer do talking for you. It's America.
But again, RG, you remember, I'm trying to keep a relationship with WWE.
I know.
John Laurinaitis calls, he yells at me. I'm like, John, I'm not trying to cause a problem.
Right. That makes sense.
You know, let me talk to, I'll have the lawyer guy call me. But now the lawyer starts to be a douche with me again.
Oh,
and I'm like, he's like, well, you know, you hired a lawyer. I said, yeah. I said, you know what? Based on how this is going, why don't I have Mark reach back out to you? And you and he can discuss this, doing exactly what you said, RJ.
Yeah,
and just like this, he goes, well, you know, is he familiar with trademarks and patents, or is this just a some other kind of lawyer?
And
just like this, RJ, you'll appreciate this. And may lightning strike me on the phone, just like this, I go, oh, no, I said, I was up late last night, and I saw this guy with an 800 number.
Beautiful.
So that's who I called to bring up a lawsuit against a company I've worked with for a decade. I said, yeah, he's a real lawyer, and he's the one who's going to be he's the one who'll contact you next. I think we're done. Boom. Send down the phone.
So
now it gets worse.
Oh, wow.
Believe it or not.
I don't know how that's possible.
Now it gets worse. So now lawyer gets pissed at me. He calls Laurinaitis. Laurinaitis calls
lawyer?
Me back.
Whose lawyer?
Their lawyer, Scott.
The other guy's lawyer.
Scott, WWE lawyer.
Right.
He gets pissed. So now John Laurinaitis calls me, and he says to me, what are we gonna do? I'm like, John, I don't care at this point. What do you want? I said, I just want to be able to use it. And he says, okay, Vince wants to buy it from you.
Okay.
And I'm like, the answer is yes.
Okay.
John, I watch Shark Tank and I yell at the screen every time.
Yeah.
When you get an offer, say yes and run.
I'll just get out of there.
Yes.
Take the money.
Run like Danny E.
As
like
soon
Danny
as
e
as if I heard a shark say, I'm gonna make you an offer, I'd be like, yes.
All of the money.
And I'm out.
Sure, I'll
take
the money.
Run. Tell me what it is later.
Uh-huh.
So I say, and John says, put together what you want. And this has never been told outside of my family before.
Wow.
I sent them two offers. One was to buy the Breaking Point trademark from me and let us co-use it. And two was to buy Chaotic Wrestling from me. Buy Chaotic Wrestling, keep me on as a consultant, take my tape library, and I was prepared to sell to WWE that day. Those were my two offers.
That would have changed the trajectory of everything.
Then they decided, all of a sudden they realized they didn't have a problem anymore. And Rich, the reason on the notes it said, they ran it in Montreal. because they ran it in Canada.
Not America, folks.
There was no conflict because I was running shows with Breaking Point in the U.S.
Breaking Point, Canada.
There was a real concern.
Canada has reached its breaking point.
There was a real concern during this three-week period when we were going back and forth that I technically was preventing them from running their pay-per-view. Wow. And they were going to have to change it. Now all of a sudden, we're going back and forth, and John Laurinaitis says, well, we're just not going to, we're going to run the one, and we're never going to use the name again.
But you've used it. You can't just walk away. You did the thing.
They did it in Canada, though.
You give me money from Vince. I'll take Vince's money.
What did your attorney say about that being in Canada?
They were right, but they still had a problem.
Did you have a Canadian lawyer?
We had previously sold Breaking Point DVDs in the U.S. We had the trademark on Breaking Point DVDs in the U.S. So they would never be able to distribute Breaking Point on DVD. So now all
not
of a sudden,
on the network?
Oh,
so now John tries to push me off and be like, John tries to push me off, like, yeah, Vincent's sister. I'm like, all right, great. And my attorney says they've still got a problem. So I have to call Laurinaitis, and now all of a sudden Ty Bailey is calling me every week, and he's like, Jamie, what are we gonna do? I'm like, Ty, I'm waiting on you guys. I've sent you two offers. What do you want to do? He's like, well, we're not taking those. I said, well, you need to do something for me now. I said, you guys have jerked me around. And it actually got back to me that it was actually said in a WWE executive meeting that Vince was at the head of the table. And I quote, why the F is this Breaking Point thing still on our agenda? Somebody take the F care of this. So I think I was going to be killed for a little while there. But yeah, fortunately, it all worked out. What we did was we actually leveraged that to, we got Ty and John to come to the CTC for a camp. We got a ton of guys used as extras. That being said, they froze me out a little bit. I was not exactly the most welcome fellow there. And, John, I'm kind of glancing over at you because Jim Kettner was one who called me. And he said, Jamie, you have more balls than I ever had. I can't believe you fucking sued him. I'm like, Jim, I didn't want to. Yeah. But it was just one of these things where I tried to be nice at first, and it all came down to that douchey little lawyer.
Would they have done the same to you? Yes.
Exactly.
So why would you not? Business is business. It's not a personal thing. You're not a jerk for, you know, exercising your rights. I would have done the same thing.
And at the end of the day, you know, there was a little year-long freeze-out of me in WWE.
What year was this?
2009.
2009 oh, okay. was after the that one, yeah. Which is available on the network.
Yeah. And then 2010... You know, they came back around. And again, I don't think they came back around because, okay, he's been punished enough. No, they probably needed us for something. And I was, you know, I was the best option. And in a desert, the smallest glass of water you'll take.
Not even the smallest. I mean, WWE doesn't care. I mean, the bottom line is, like, it's resolved. It's off Vince's agenda. Yeah. Like, a company of that size, you matter in terms of, like, having a place where people do wrestling and you can have wrestlers be involved.
I mean,
like,
Jesse Ventura sued them and won and he got brought back. So it's business is business, I think, with especially with Vince. I don't think it matters what happens.
And my two favorite parts of the story are, then again, you guys are the first three to ever hear it outside of my family, was that, yeah, there's a document. I could probably find it where I offered to sell Chaotic Wrestling to Vince McMahon.
Cheryl, how much does Nikki hate this story? Like, and then, this is a lot. Right?
And then,
if the only people who know the story is your family, and your daughter's probably heard this 5,000 times, she's like, all right, Dad, you sued Vince. I get it.
Hey, guys.
Eye roll. I'm a teenager. LOL.
Hey, guys, it's Friday. You know what that means? Chaotic story night.
Yes, Dad. Then you sued the big Vince McMahon, Dad. We all know.
It's like Al Bundy when he played football for Polk High.
That's my Al Bundy moment.
It's your Al Bundy moment for sure.
So that's the whole story of me quote unquote suing WWF. So it's partially true.
Lovely story.
Thank you, John.
Yep. That's awesome. That is awesome. And with that, there's no way to. There's nothing else we can add to that. That's the story of Jamie suing WWE.
Although, RJ, you know what a better way for me to sell that would have been? Me and Vince, unsanctioned.
Well, if you don't sanction it, I don't think we can talk about it. There's legal people involved
already.
But
no, we should have had an unsanctioned match for Breaking Point.
You have to take the aprons down. There's no sanctions.
You have to take all the logos down.
Too many sanctions. Too many sanctions.
Come on, that would have been amazing. Then
I'm in.
All of a sudden, for the finish, Randy Miller and Eric Bischoff run in and just F up the whole match. And
yeah, you're all
that would have been amazing.
We've lost control, so Chaotic Wrestling Breaking Point 2018 from Haverhill, Massachusetts will be available on demand at chaoticwrestling.com very soon. I want to thank our guests, RJ DeLuise, Hurricane John Walters. Thank you for being here.
Of course.
Jamie, great to be back and doing it live. And we've got some good things in store coming up.
We have some awesome guests coming up, right?
We certainly do.
You had awesome guests just now.
We did. I want to have John back. Anytime John comes back, this is his second time. RJ, I want to have you on more.
Yeah. I'm a consistent technician.
I love this.
With words, though, not with actual technical.
But RJ, next time, what we're going to do when we have you up, we talked about what we're going to do with Blow Up Boys, but you should pick a topic that you want to talk about, or an era exciting. Or a show. That would be
love
fun.
Errors and shows.
That would be good. Okay. And some of our shows had lots of errors, so.
Errors.
Go ahead, Rich.
Yeah, and speaking of which, we'll be debuting a new segment called What the Hell Were You Thinking? And we'll get into some of those segments. Nice segue. See how I did that?
Ooh, I like that.
So on behalf of all of our esteemed guests, I'm Rich Palladino. He's Jamie J. Mikowski. We'll see you in 2 weeks for another edition of Let the Chaos Begin.